Lord, do strengthen us into our inner man. Lord Jesus Christ, we are here so that you can gain your glory in the church. And do open your word to us this evening. We would like to follow you as you love it. We would like to express your glory and grow into the unity, the oneness of the faith.
Oh, Herr Jesus. Der Paulus hat im Kapitel 1 schon
in chapter 1, Paul started to pray for the Ephesians.
Von ihrem Glauben gehört hat.
After he had heard about their faith, so he right away prayed that they should know Christ and the riches in the saints. And in chapter 2 again, he again depicted the whole work the Lord has accomplished. The fact that he has made us alive together with Christ, that we are his workmanship, that he has brought into his existence, his very body. And then in chapter 3, he continues to speak about God's household, God's economy, his stewardship, and he would like to put this into the brothers and sisters' hearts according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And after having written down this clear revelation, he again prays for the Ephesians. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would grant you. This attitude impressed me. We have seen this morning that we are in a fight, in a battle. And Paul, he realized this. He knew the saints. He knew the difficulties we have as believers, and he bowed his knees for the brothers and sisters, looking away from himself, from his own struggle. He and we are after the Lord's glory in the church. And for this, he needs saints who would pray. Like Paul did, he is a model, an example in praying for the saints. That he should grant us according to the riches of his glory, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Did you ever pray in this way for the saints in your locality? Or did you just pray such a prayer for yourself, which is good so far, but the Lord, he needs everyone to pray for the other saints in his locality. Not just Paul is needed to pray for the Ephesians, or not just the elders who pray for the saints in their locality. The Lord would like to stir us up for this, every one of us. And if the Lord grants us the vision of this one body, as we've seen last night, then our prayer for the brothers and sisters would just be a logical consequence. The Lord then would urge me to pray for the saints in my locality, that he should grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. And that turns away my eyes from my problems, and we make ourselves one with his desire that he should gain his glory in the church. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's discover this prayer for the brothers and sisters in our locality. I assure you, no one among us is too young to pray such a prayer, and also no one is too old. So Paul serves us as an example. And then in chapter 4, he continues to say, I therefore beseech you. I suggest that we read Ephesians 4, 1-6 together in German, all together. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. After this wonderful vision, Paul starts to talk about the reality, our practical walk. I beseech you, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Who called us? The great God and Creator, who has prepared everything in order to gain his church. He's the one who called us. As Peter writes in his first epistle, chapter 1 and 2, everything that is for life and godliness, he has given it to us. Everything he has given us. Just let's take the word as it is. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, our daily life, depends on the Lord. Everything has been freely given to us. And I would like to know the one who has given everything to me. And I would like to come back to him. Come back to the Lord, to the one who has freely given you all. And let us also be aware who is the one who gives everything for life. That we should not think, I accomplished this myself. In Deuteronomy, there's a chapter which I have read a few weeks ago. It's chapter 8. From verse 11 on, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. Not forget. You should not forget. That is, in all humility. It starts by not forgetting the Lord, not thinking you yourself are so important. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that you might he might test you to do good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. What a wonderful attitude. We should adopt such an attitude. Lord, you are the one who gives me the strength. The strength for my daily life is from you. Who woke you up this morning? How wonderful the Lord did. He gives us the strength. In Deuteronomy, the Lord was already somehow worried because he knows human beings so well. He was afraid that the human beings could say, it is my power and my might and my hand who have gained me this wealth.
Den Engel des Lichts kennen wir.
We know Satan, who used to be the angel of light, and I'm going to read from Ezekiel 28, a few verses.
Bloßzustellen, wie dieser Engel des Lichts ist und war. Ezekiel 28.
Just to show how he was, this angel of light, Ezekiel 28, where the prince of Tyre is used as a type. And the Lord said, because your heart is lifted up and you say, I am God, I sit in the seat of gods in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a God, though you set up your heart as the heart of a God. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel, and there is no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself. And 6, therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have set your heart as the heart of a God. That was Satan, the angel of light, who wanted to be still higher. And he thought, it was me who has accomplished this. And this nature is in all mankind, and it's also in our flesh. Every human being is saturated with this haughty nature, and we are not free from it through our faith. It is still in our flesh. So it is so good that we describe, we put the Lord's nature so that we know him more, that we realize he is greater. In Romans it says that death has reached every human being. This attitude, the haughty, arrogant attitude. You can find it everywhere. Look into the internet. The people post something and then they look how many likes they are getting. Then we read about people who have got such a big number of followers. All this is just bragging about persons, human beings.
Und der Herr? Ja, diese Personen können ihrem Leben nicht eine Sekunde.
And these persons, they are not able to extend their lives even by 1 second more than what the Lord has determined. The Lord can just move 2 plates of the earth and immediately 50,000 people die. Even people who did have 100,000 likes before, he's just gone in 1 second. Sometimes the Lord needs outer things to humble the heart. The Lord, he needs sometimes outward events even to remember, to remind us, the believers, you are not in control as you might think. Be aware of the fact and be humble. When I saw the pictures and I read the news about the earthquake in Turkey, all I could say, Lord, what can I say? That's the end of every human pride. And that is healthy for those whom the Lord has kept alive. Lord, thank you for showing me how great you are and that it's precious that I am still alive today and that you have predestinated me for your church. The psalmist in Psalm 119 made a wonderful statement
darüber, dass der Herr demütigt.
That the Lord humbles. If I do not humble myself, then the Lord humbles. In verse 71, it is good for me that that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. And 75, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. In German it says, humbled me, you have humbled me. And verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. What a wonderful attitude that is laid down by the psalmist here. Before I was humbled or afflicted, I went astray. We can be just grateful for everything by which the Lord humbles us or afflicts us, so that we can be useful in his house as a humble person, as we are going to read. Pay attention to this. During the past weeks, when I went into these verses, I observed a little bit to find out how the Lord is and how he reacts. It's amazing how the Lord sometimes uses situations to humble us, not to depress us or to annul us, but to make us useful for his plan and for his glory. Because my pride is a frustration. I'm just going to name a few examples that were precious to me. One example happened about 10 days ago. My wife criticized or corrected me concerning a matter in which she was right. But how did I react? I quickly find an opposite argument. Yes, but. But if I'm careful, I could probably realize that it's the Lord using her to humble me, to show me you're not as good as you think. Or another situation, a brother in Basel, he said something, and I had in front of others a reaction of unbelief, and immediately there was this reaction inside me. Timo, what did you say? How can you? How could you react in that way? I kept silent, and the brother, I'm sure he did not realize that he brought me into the situation where I was humbled. I could just say, Lord, I repent for my too fast reaction. And that was the result of an arrogant attitude. Sometimes the Lord uses certain things and you just think, well, that turned out bad, but it's good to realize the Lord is behind the scene. My script for tonight was gone on my computer. I couldn't find it again. Lord, probably you want to speak again to me. That was my second reaction, I admit. My first, I got angry and how can I restore it? But then the Lord said, just come back to me. Why should I conceal to you what I've shown you already? These are very small examples, but they showed me that the Lord, he wants us to know his power, to recognize his work in us. And when we read here that we should walk worthy of our calling in all humility, that starts in my heart, in all humility. Lord, I humble myself before you. So that we can walk according to the calling. That is what the Lord is after. It's not to glory in myself and even putting myself into the focus. That happens so fast. The enemy is so really cunning. He knows exactly how he can get us. And it's really no behavior. It's not a behavior. Humility is not a behavior. You can also tell yourself in your mind, well, now I'm going to be humble. I will pay attention not to be conspicuous, to keep a bit in the background. And there are even training courses you can take. And not to say a word during a discussion, that does not mean that I am humble. I may be so convinced about my own opinion, and I know if I express it, I will face opposition. That's why I prefer not to say it. But it's out of pride and out of a full conviction that I am right. And if I transfer this into the spiritual area, a fellowship, and I keep silent, because I do not want the Lord to get too close to me. This is also a kind of pride. But the Lord, he says, in all humility, in all humility, in patience, bearing one another in love.
Diese Demut, die der Herr in uns wirkt,
the humility worked by the Lord in us.
Einfach für uns das behalten, dass wir das zur Schau stellen.
It's not for ourselves to be conspicuous about as a very lowly, humble person. Don't forget, it's all about the body of Christ. But to make this vision real, my lowliness is required. I'm going to come back to this humility or lowliness, bearing one another in love. What does this refer to? What is this love? The Lord has loved his disciples to the uttermost, as he said in John 13. And in John 15, I think we have read the verse this morning, nobody has greater love than he who sets aside his life for his friends. That brings everything to practice. I can also quickly withdraw into my individual area, into my own courtyard where nobody can bother me.
Paulus redet hier eben weiter. Er sagt, in aller Demut.
Paul here, he says, in all lowliness, but then he continues, bearing one another in love.
Und da geht die Demut weiter.
So, lowliness goes further. Well, on one hand, it's lowliness towards the Lord and with respect to what he wants to do in me, but also lowliness with respect to the Lord's work in the saints. Then only I will be able to bear the saints in love. It is only by discovering, knowing the Lord's love that I am willing to set aside my life for the brothers and sisters, not avoiding one another. I repeat, I don't need you.
Sagt Paulus in 1. Korinther 12 von dem Food.
That is what Paul writes about the foot in 1 Corinthians 12.
Von dem einen Glied.
He describes the members and the eye cannot tell the hand, I don't need you. Then I do not need to bear in love. Then I probably withdraw into my own pride. But we need one another. In the body, we need one another. And we all need to be born in love. Right in the love that consecrates itself, gifts itself for the saints. In Philippians 2, verses 2 and 3, Paul says,
seid verbunden in der Seele und denkt, das eine tut nichts.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ.
Achte einer den anderen höher als sich selbst.
And in humility,
habt dieselbe Liebe.
Looking at the others as higher than yourself, be of one soul and think the one thing. This warms up the Lord's heart. Thinking the same, being one, unite, being of one soul, that is something wonderful.
Damit wir diesen Segen empfangen, einander in Liebe zu tragen, Geschwister, da ist so ein Segen drauf.
bearing one another in love, that has such a blessing. Not thinking in an arrogant way, well, I forbear with brothers, what can I do? That is also the first step towards the attitude, I don't know, I don't need you. But being of one soul, being focused on Christ in the brother, being focused on the Lord and the fact that the brother or the sister is also living to the Lord.
Sagt Paulus, wer bist du, dass du einen fremden Haussklaven richtest? Er steht oder fällt seinem eigenen Herrn.
We should not judge the slave because he stands to his Lord, but he will keep him upright.
Lass uns mal an unsere Heiligen, an unserem Ort denken.
Let us think about the saints in our locality. He will keep standing.
Das braucht die Demut des Herrn.
This needs the Lord's humility, and it needs a life by the humble one. He is humble from the heart. I am not. But I live by Christ with this attitude. He will keep standing because the Lord can keep him upright. That is the humility, considering I can't do it, but the Lord can. He can keep him upright. And where I see a lack, deficit in myself or in brothers and sisters,
da sagt der Paulus zu den Korinthern, in 1. Korinther 10,
in 1 Corinthians 10,
darum soll der mein
12,
zusehen,
Paul says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. So quickly pride can crop up. I am still here after so many years.
Ich hab's ja geschafft.
I made it.
Oh, das haben wir noch grad schon mal gelesen. Dass du nicht sagst, meine Hand, ja. Geschwister, das ist genau die Gefahr, dass der Feind uns an der Stelle packt. Was wir
this is a danger. The enemy could also deceive us by what we think we have achieved, we have already known, and that can also make us proud. And pride comes first and then the fall. We have experienced this, unfortunately. The Lord cannot tolerate pride. Then he has to remove some from the church. He needs humility and bearing one another in lowliness.
Geschwister, und diese Demütigung, die wir erleben durch den Herrn,
and the afflictions and humiliation we experience,
aber auch durch den Herrn, der demütigt, damit wir nicht weiter irren,
by the Lord to keep us from going astray, that is because the Lord wants to make us useful in his wonderful purpose. In my daily Bible reading, I got at the point where it says about Moses that he was the most humble man on earth. And now I'm going to read a verse from Acts 7.
22.
Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds.
Der war am Hof des Königs.
He was raised at Pharaoh's court, and he was a prince. He was certainly respected. This is the man who was saved out of the Nile, and now he is a prince at the Pharaoh's, in the Pharaoh's palace. He was mighty in words and deeds. You know what happened? In his excessive zeal, he killed a person, and the Lord put him aside for a period of 40 years in order to humble him, but not just to put him aside. The Lord needed this man to lead the people out of Egypt. And also to remind the people about the Lord's deeds. But he himself had to be humbled. And this event is recorded in Numbers 12. Where it says that he was the most humble person on earth. I start reading from verse 1. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. His own brother and sisters, they found a spot in him. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Very interesting. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. This is the verse. Here it does not say anything what was Moses' reactions. The next verse, all suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. And then he showed that he wanted to use Moses for his purpose and that the Lord had set up a clear order. I am very impressed by the fact that nothing is reported about Moses' reaction on this. So Moses let the Lord react. If I am humble, I allow the Lord to react. Also concerning God's arrangement to accept what God has arranged. It starts in our human life that we just respect God's arrangement. Husband, wife, that's the Lord's arrangement. It's very clear. The Lord clearly says that the husband is the Lord's, the wife's head. How is this society, our society today? It's just the opposite. How do we react as believers? Do I humble myself under his arrangement? The next arrangement is in the church. There's also the Lord's arrangement. He is the head. And practically speaking, in our locality, there are also the shepherds of the flock who are to lead the Lord's flock. I tend to react or to rebel quickly against this arrangement because I might think that I know better, like Miriam and Aaron did. They thought, Why did the Lord only speak through Moses? Why not through us also? What about our locality in our church life? Moses was humbled so that the Lord could use him in his plan, so that the people could be led throughout the wilderness into the good land. And for this, the Lord needs our lowliness, also lowliness with respect to God's arrangement, not thinking to know everything better, and to be able to bear the saints. Moses, he could also have prayed for fire to fall down from heaven on Miriam and Aaron, but he let the Lord react. A few chapters later, there's a report about the Korah. But he was lowly, and they were swallowed up by the earth. But the Lord was, Moses was humble. Let the Lord intervene. You just keep praying for the saints, and that the Lord can make his home in their hearts. In the Old and in the New Testament, we have many examples of people who were humbled to become useful, like Jonah. Jonah, he was humbled in the wall fish, the fish, to be able to preach the gospel. John, the evangelist, he was on the Isle of Patmos, and the Lord could use him for revelation, the book of Revelation.
Zurück zum Epheser 4. Ja, wir haben in aller Demut.
Let's go back to Ephesians 4, bearing one another in love so that the Lord can get his glory in the church. I may so quickly be annoyed or upset by a brother who always comes late or always calls the same hymn, always says such a loud amen, bearing one another in love.
Amen. Eifrig bestrebt.
Keeping the unity of the Spirit.
In einer anderen Übersetzung heißt es, eifrig bestrebt, die Einheit
zu being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit.
Erst jetzt, wenn ich demütig bin, wenn der Herr mich gedemütigt hat, in kleinen Bereichen,
it's only after the Lord has humbled me, then I am willing to keep the oneness that is brought about by the Spirit. What kind of a unity is this? Look what the Lord prayed in John 70, the unity between the Father and the Son, an organic unity. Without any friction, no losses due to friction. It's the unity, the same of the Father and the Son. John 17:21, the Lord prayed that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me.
Einig zu bleiben.
They should be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So that's an organic unity. It's not trying hard to be one by avoiding another person, trying not to say certain things. That is out of my old man, my own strength, trying to do my best and control myself so that I can be one with a certain brother or sister. But this is your own strength. Better train your muscles when you do sport, or practice sport. But this unity cannot be achieved or trained by your own effort and training and behaving just to manage to get along with one another. No, it is being one as the Father and the Son are one. And keeping this unity, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit, what the Lord has achieved on the cross, He has achieved to make the unity in this wonderful body. As we've seen last night, it is just one body. The Lord has made this unity, and I just want to keep it with the brothers and sisters in my locality. Being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit. So, first step is that I set aside my dividing thoughts. What separates me from you, that I have to set it aside. All malice, hypocrisy, envy, and all the evil speaking, slandering, we have to set it aside. Young saints, that happens so quickly that I say something evil. You know this from your schoolmates. That's very frequent, presenting yourself better than another one.
Den anderen so ein bisschen, ja, lächerlich zu machen.
Or ridiculing another person. And you find that cool nowadays in schools.
Das wird den Schülern, den jungen Leuten beigebracht von außen.
And the young people are taught such a behavior. And that's why Peter says, put this aside. It does not have its place in the church. I'm so fast to judge another one. Did you see? Did you hear about this? It's pride. I know better. Don't forget, each one stands before his Lord, and the Lord can keep him upright. You realize that the enemy is fighting against the church. I would like to show you with these verses. We would like to reach the oneness of the faith and one, just one new man. And for this, we should humble ourselves and we should keep the unity which was created by the Lord in a very practical way in my locality. Each time I notice oh, something has slipped out of my mouth about a brother or a sister, the Lord has to remind me immediately, stop here and humble yourself under God's hand. He is building his church. To him be the glory. And being diligent, striving diligently for the oneness. So we need our diligence. I would like to read something from 2 Timothy, a very diligent brother.
In der Bibel, aber hier ein ganz wunderbarer Bruder.
Der Herr gebe beim Herzen Onesimus,
denn er hat mich
the Lord, may the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain, but when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. He sought me out very zealously and found me. Come to the meetings. Seek the saints in the meetings. Don't withdraw.
Versteht mich bitte richtig. Zieh dich nicht zurück hinter deinen Computer.
Don't withdraw behind your computer. Well, just you may think it's good enough to attend online. I'm not talking about elderly or sick brothers and sisters or souls, those who cannot travel. That's all right. But I am talking about the basic attitude, just to say whether I'm present or not physically. It is not important. Just enough to listen, to attend online. That's not the same. Being zealous, zealously keeping the unity of the Spirit. This is the foundation for the building. It starts with lowliness, as I've shown at the beginning. The Lord humbles us and we humble ourselves for the sake of the brothers and sisters by recognizing the Lord's work in them, and then we diligently strive for the oneness the Lord has created already. Diligence is required. You young people, do not leave zeal to the older generation, and especially not to your great parents' generation. Be zealous yourself, zealous, striving zealously for the oneness with the brothers and sisters. This is the victory over the enemy. When he has to admit, look here, in this locality, the saints are zealous to keep the unity. There is one young brother, but he has such an attitude to be diligent, to strive diligently for the unity in his locality. What a victory over the enemy. Now, I would like to end with a well-known verse from Acts 2:42 and 43, they continued steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles, breaking bread from house to house, and in prayers, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. What a glorious time is before us, brothers and sisters, if we bear one another in lowliness and are keeping the unity, are diligently keeping the unity. I'm looking forward to everything the Lord is revealing in these days. Let us examine before the Lord. Where am I standing? Where am I still so self-confident? Lord, I would like to learn your humility. I would like to know you as the one who is humble in heart for the building up of your church and for the glory in the church. Praise the Lord.